And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is oddities. Each of my guests is discussing an unusual aspect of our daily lives. My next guest has researched the power of the mind for over 25 years. He'll guide us through some thought experiments to reveal the dissonance in our thinking, our beliefs, our desires, and our choices from his latest book titled What If? And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Eldon Taylor is an award-winning New York Times best-selling author of over 300 books, audio tapes, and video programs. He is also the inventor of the patented InnerTalk technology and the founder and president of Progressive Awareness Research. He's been called a master of the mind. Eldon is listed in more than a dozen Who's Who's publications, including Who's Who in Intellectuals and Who's Who in Science and Engineering. He is a fellow at the American Psychotherapy Association as well. Eldon is host of the popular radio show Provocative Enlightenment. Welcome to the show, Eldon. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, and thank you very much. It's indeed my pleasure to join you, Bill.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to a thought leader such as yourself. I love having you on the show. So the original question that you ask in the book is kind of an intriguing one. If you suddenly awoke one day with amnesia, would you be the same person? Very thought-provoking. Now, why do you ask this important? Why is this an important question to even ask?
Well, I think the reason I ask the question and the reason the question is so important is that it ultimately goes to who am I, the oldest of all questions. Mm. We live in a time and in a society with a pace such that it's not at all uncommon for all of us to hear, you know, somebody tell us, you know, I just don't know who I am anymore. I just don't have any time. You know, I'm running the kids to school. I have my job. There's the home. There's this and this and this. We're on a constant go. And we have been trained in a very real sense to be that, to become self-alienated. And in that process, we have lost ourselves. We have lost our true identity. We hold all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of beliefs that when we really examine them, they're either dissonant or they're not what we truly believe. What I wanted to do in the book, What If?, was show you through 32 different thought experiments that what you think you believe is not what you believe, who you think you are is not who you really are, and more importantly, how is it that we begin to really discover who we are? I think in this day and age, Bill, if I don't take the time to stop and really ground myself, what I'm really going to end up doing is just being one of those consumer puppets running around in what I think of as a false, a frenetic state, false to myself and frenetically in pursuit of consumption of something like that story of Little Black Sambo's tiger. I am just going to run in circles until I, you know, chasing my tail and till I have melded into somebody else's butter.
We're talking to Eldon Taylor. And Eldon, I don't know if you picked the example of Little Black Sambo on purpose or not, but you probably don't realize this, that the Sambo's chain of restaurants was based here in the Tri-Counties area. It was started up in Santa Barbara, and the only remaining Sambo's restaurant is still up there in Santa Barbara as well. But let's get back to your book, if we can, for just a minute. Now, you talk about falsophrenia. It's a new global pandemic. What do you mean? I mean, how can this be a pandemic? This is a state of the mind.
You know, you think of what a pandemic is. I mean, first of all, when we talk about the state of the mind, we tend to think of it as divorced from physical reality, and we shouldn't. All the hard research shows us that our belief system, for all intent and purposes, is critically important to the reality, the physical reality that we'll know. Take, for example, this. We know from multiple personality disordered patients that a patient, we'll say Tom in one personality, has blue eyes. Snap your fingers, Tom becomes Joe in another personality, and perhaps the eyes are brown. You know, in one personality, an individual has a 3-inch tumor. In another personality, the tumor disappears. We know that when placebos are studied today, that we have repeated instances of individuals who are terminally ill. They're on their last leg. They are dying, and they are given the miracle cure. And within a day or two, they're up, they're dancing, they're flirting with nurses, etc. Belief influences everything. You know, we used to think of it as like the Pygmalion factor, the expectation factor, the self-fulfilling prophecy, the placebo, but it goes deeper than that. We now know that it influences even the DNA. You know, there are a lot of quantum physicists out there, not all, but a lot of them, that are looking at things such as the uncertainty principle and showing us that the act of consciousness itself is interchanging or interacting with the physical universe and in a very real sense determining, as you know, the kind of world that we're going to experience. So, falsophrenia is addressing an issue of the mind for sure, but this issue of the mind is creating fear, anxiety, frustration. It creates a global kind of expectation, and that expectation drives us in ways that are less than our highest best. And I don't just mean, you know, in your home as individuals and how you interact with your children or your loved ones or in your neighborhood, in your community, or in your 5 o'clock traffic drive. I'm not just talking about the pent-up nature of anxiety and aggression that most people experience today. I'm talking about it as well at a larger level, on a macro level, because from below, it goes all the way up. Now, this dissonance that we have, this ability to hold two mutually exclusive views and not be aware of it, it underlies a good deal of this, and that it compounds the entire issue. So, falsophrenia as a global pandemic, there's absolutely no doubt about that.
All right, we're talking to Eldon Taylor, author of the book, What If? The Challenge of Self-Realization. And Eldon, if values are so important, as you pointed out in that last answer, that can actually turn a terminally sick person into feeling better, being better, why is it so hard for us to discover who we really are? Why do we take so little time to really consider ourselves and consider self-realization?
Well, I think the answer there is we hide from ourselves. We begin that very early process. You know, we have peers, and our peers maybe laugh at us because of how we smile, or they ridicule us because of something we wear, or how we walk, or we're told that we're too heavy, or we're too skinny, or we're, you know, we all have all this no-don't stuff. I just think of it as the no-don't syndrome voiced upon us from the very get-go, and in our attempts to avoid rejection and to find acceptance, because you know, human condition is a herd animal. In that nature, in that respect, we begin to modify who we are. We begin to pretend to be who we think we should be. We might even practice in a mirror, you know. Go ahead and make my day, or some other soundbite that we've taken from our icons in the media. And the bottom line is, we begin very early to pretend to be something that we're not. And in that process, we also lose our innocence. We're educated in a way to think that, you know, one and one is always two, two and two is always four, names, dates, places, and all of that is false to the real world. I can tell you this, when I add a gallon of water to a gallon of gasoline or a gallon of alcohol as a demonstration to adults, I'm amazed at how many of them don't believe that you don't get 2 gallons. You know, one and one is not always two. So what we do is we go out into the world and we take that awe that we had as children. You know, they saw that first butterfly and wow, and we mute it into definitions. And so we all know what electricity is. And when our children ask us, why does the light go on? It's because I flipped the switch. Well, that's not an answer. Those are just definitions. And so that real self is avoided by each of us in our process, our attempt to become accepted. And that is a condition of self-alienation, and that self-alienation is the state of the normal man. What exacerbates it even more, Bill, is that our media comes after us building a sense of anxiety because, look, I can't sell you a life jacket unless you think you're going to drown. So you, everything from selling sickness in the media, the latest cure-all, to the images, the way we should dress and comb our hair and cars we should drive and mannerisms, et cetera, and so forth. These are all things we begin to copy. And as we copy them and imitate them, we're kind of like the eagle raised in the chicken yard. We find ourselves digging holes so we can squat down in the earth when it gets hot outside and never fly.
We're talking to Eldon Taylor. And Eldon, I'm going to challenge you a little bit because I like what you say that humans are herd animals. There's no question about that. But if we take time to really do introspection, that is going to single us out from the herd. And as herd animals, we know that you don't want to be singled out from the herd because that makes you more vulnerable, more likely to get attacked or even killed. What do you say to that?
Well, you're not actually challenging me. You're endorsing precisely what I said. Because that is a part of the mechanism that stops us from really examining ourselves. We do want to be accepted, period, end of quotation. To withdraw from society, to even withdraw from the family long enough to maybe take that half hour, 45 minutes, to close our eyes and do some quiet meditation, to really do some honest reflection, that's something that's not considered popular today. It is, as you point out, it is withdrawing, and that is a kind of rejection to the others that you might have in your nuclear family or your nuclear relationships. Unfortunately, we also are very codependent in our herd animal nature. So, you know, it's not unlike a loved one to address us with, "But if you love me, you would do this. I mean, I do this for you. Why wouldn't you do this for me?" A kind of quid pro quo bargain that's unstated, a co-manipulative way of keeping us all on this escalator going through life blind to who we really are.
We're talking, I'm sorry, Eldon, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. We're talking to Eldon Taylor, author of the book, What If? So, Eldon, if all of this is true, and I believe that you're on to something here, give my listeners one thing that they can do immediately to move them more towards the state you call self-realization.
Well, I think, you know, that's really simple. The first thing, I mean, the one thing that you can do is just withdraw from all of the media input for a week. Take a week to spend a half an hour every day with yourself and just reflect on your thoughts, reflect on your beliefs, reflect. Ask yourself, why is it I believe this? Why is it I do this? Why is it I think this way? And what you're going to find is that your answer is it comes from the media. It comes from around the water fountain at work. It comes from other sources. It doesn't come from you. You know, I know we're short of time, but I'll go real quick on this.
Sure.
I recently saw a poll conducted on two networks at the same time on the same day. On one network, the poll was, should poor taxpayers be required to reimburse rich people that put their kids in private schools? On the other network, the same poll, questioned this way, should poor taxpayers be required to pay twice to put their children through school because public school systems are failing? You know, the question is about school vouchers. But if I listen to Program A, I'm going to say, of course not. Poor taxpayers shouldn't pay those rich folks. If I listen to Question B, I'm going to say, well, yeah, of course not. Poor taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for it twice. We need to make the system work. I'm not going to take the time, however, to look into the question, who's going to get the school voucher? Who takes advantage of this? Does the system work somewhere else in the world? What is the hard data? Is it really rich people? Or are there hardworking poor people maybe holding two jobs down in order to get their kids to the best possible schools, you know?
Well,
I don't do that. I don't question the real stuff. I just take the soundbite. If I take 1 week and I really examine things that way, I'll have a lever to move me off of center because I'll discover things about myself I didn't know.
Give me a lever that's long enough and I can move the world. That's a famous quote. We're talking to Eldon Taylor. And Eldon, I agree with you. The way the question is asked is very important on that. But I think it goes to a deeper issue that most of us don't exercise critical thinking. And that's one of the concerns that I have for young people today in the internet. You have a cesspool of information out there, some of it true, some of it false, and some of it a combination of both. Without critical thinking, you have no way of truly figuring out what is real on the internet. Your thoughts on that?
No, you're absolutely right, you know. And people are just plugged in. They're plugged into TV. They're plugged into the internet. I mean, A.C. Nielsen tells us that the average American spends over 4 hours every single day, over 1,600 minutes a week on television alone. If you compare that to the data that says parents spend in meaningful conversation with their children about 35 minutes every day, every week, wow, where do we get that? I mean, no wonder we have the violence that we have among young people, the breakdown of some of the, you know, fundamental morality that made this country. I don't want to get on a lecture here, but, you know, some podium, but when you say cesspool, that's an understatement.
We're talking to Eldon Taylor, author of the book, What If? The Challenge of Self-Realization. Eldon, if people like the sound of your voice, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, they can go to my website, Eldon Taylor, ELDONTAYLOR.com. There are all kinds of links there. The book is available, of course, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the brick-and-mortar bookstores.
Including Bank of Books right here in Ventura, 748
yeah.
East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Now, I wanted to get that in because independent bookstores definitely need to be supported. Eldon, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, I appreciate it. My pleasure. Thank you, sir, and you have a great weekend.
And you do
great
the same.
Holiday.